contains adult content, which could include sexual behavior or exploitation, misuse of alcohol, smoking, illegal drugs, violence, and dangerous behavior. This book includes content that may be distressing to readers, including descriptions of suicide or self-harm, references to terrorism or hate speech, and abusive or discriminatory treatment of individuals, groups, religions, or communities. Part 1, Chapter 1, Amma. Amma is walking along the path next to the river. It is early in the morning. The sun has begun to rise, and she can hear a violin being played somewhere in the distance. Amma's new play, The Last Amazon of Dahomey, opens at the National Theatre in London tonight. As she walks, Amma thinks back to when she first started working in theatre. She remembers how she and her friend, Dominique, would go to shows and shout insults at the actors and actresses on the stage if the play offended them. Amma remembers once pouring a pint of beer over the head of a director and quickly running out of the theatre, laughing loudly. When she was younger, Amma had found herself on the outside of what was popular in the theatre world. She was a black lesbian and, for a long time, she felt like she did not fit in with the people around her. But recently, things had started to change. 3 years ago, a woman was named the artistic director of the National, and after so many years of being on the outside, Amma had received a phone call from her. "Hello, Amma," she said. "I love your new play. I want to show it at the National, and I want you to direct it too." Amma walks towards the National and remembers how she felt when she first walked through its doors many years ago. She had expected to be kicked out as soon as she arrived. Back then, people wore their smartest clothes to the theatre, but not Amma. She had dressed casually, in jeans and hats, and large jewellery, in clothes that matched her personality and revealed her politics and sexuality. She wore special buttons on her clothes to show people that she was a lesbian. Amma's style has changed since then, but it still makes her noticeable in a crowd. She wears trousers with patterns on them, bright shirts and coats, and has even coloured her dreadlocks blonde. Her daughter, Yaz, recently told her that she has a mad old woman look before begging her to dress more like normal mothers. Amma pauses her walk to light a cigarette. She is nervous about tonight. She has written and directed plenty of plays in her career, but she is still worried. What if she gets bad reviews? What will people say about her? At times like these, Amma misses Dominique, who moved to America many years ago. Amma and Dominique met in the 1980s at an audition and quickly became friends after they realized they both hated having to try for parts in plays where black people had to be slaves or servants. "Look at me," said Dominique. "Do I look like I should be a slave or a servant?" Amma shook her head. "Can't they see I'm a goddess?" Dominique shouted. Dominique was tall, beautiful, and cool. She wore leather clothes and kept her hair cut short. After the audition, Dominique and Amma went to a cafe and told each other about their lives. Dominique was a lesbian, like Amma. She was born in Bristol and had 9 brothers and sisters. She was the oldest. When she was 16, she moved to London to try and become an actress. Life was difficult for her at first. She did not have anywhere to live, so she lied and told a government worker that she was running away from her violent father. The government gave her a flat after that. "I did what I had to do," said Dominique, "and nobody got hurt. My father never found out about the lie." After she got her flat, Dominique decided it was time to educate herself in black history, politics, and feminism. When she eventually went to drama school, she was the only person of colour in the whole school. I challenged them on everything, said Dominique. I asked the difficult questions, like why can't male parts in Shakespeare be played by women? Or why is it okay for a white person to play a black character, but not the opposite way? Nobody ever agreed with me. I realised I was on my own. I understand, said Amma. You have to fight for what you believe in. My dad taught me that. Amma's father, Kwabena, was a journalist who had fought for independence in Ghana. The government wanted to arrest him for speaking against them, so he ran away to London, where he met Amma's mother, Helen. Helen was mixed race and was born in Scotland. She had light skin and loose, curly hair. The white men in Scotland did not like her, but the black African men she met in London thought that she was beautiful. Do your parents know you're a lesbian? Asked Dominique. Mum does, said Amma, but not Dad. Mum told me not to tell him. Even she thinks I'll change my mind one day. Amma told Dominique about Elaine and the first black women's group she had gone to during her last year at her school in Brixton. The women there spoke about feminism and racism and how it affected them. Amma listened to them speak, and soon she started to feel like she had found somewhere where she belonged. Elaine was a member of the group. She was beautiful. Once everyone else had gone home for the night, Amma and Elaine kissed on the couch. Amma thought they had something special together, but at the next meeting, Elaine ignored her completely. Amma did not go back to the group. Amma and Dominique stayed at the cafe drinking wine until the owner told them to leave. They had decided that they needed to start their own theatre company because they did not want to have parts as slaves and servants. They called it Bush Women Theatre Company and decided they would use it to tell black and Asian women's stories. Starting a theatre company was not an easy job. Amma and Dominique were good friends, but they could not work together well. Amma upset Dominique when she was late to their planning meetings, and Dominique annoyed Amma when she did not deliver her scripts on time. We need to work together better, said Amma one evening. She had invited Dominique to her home for a meeting, or the company is going to fail. I don't like acting on the stage, Dominique admitted. I'd rather do all the organising. I hate all the organising, and I don't really like acting, said Amma. I love writing, though. They came to an agreement. Dominique would be the manager, and Amma would be the artistic director of the company. Amma wrote the plays, and Dominique hired actresses and organised tours around the UK. The company did not make a lot of money, so Amma had to work extra hours at a burger restaurant and lived in a squat in an old office building without paying rent. Amma did a lot of dating while she lived in the squat. She did not have a favourite type and dated all kinds of women. She did not care about their age, their skin colour, their religion, or anything else. She sometimes dated more than one person at the same time and never felt she wanted a normal relationship. For Amma, being with one woman was like being in a prison. Amma enters the National and walks onto the stage. The seats in the audience are still empty, but she imagines the many people who will be sitting in them later tonight. She still can't believe that so many people will be coming to watch her play. The Last Amazon of Dahomey is a play about women fighters in the 18th and 19th centuries, who protected the king because the men could not be trusted not to try and kill him. The women lived together and were not allowed to have relationships except with the king. When Amma first learned about them, she immediately decided the women must have been sleeping with each other. because wasn't that what happened when the sexes were separated? And the idea for her play was born. Amma wishes Dominique could have come from America to see the play. Amma wrote it 10 years ago, and Dominique was the first person to read it. Sometimes, Amma cannot believe it has taken so long for the last Amazon of Dahomey to get to the stage. Once, after being rejected by every theatre company she sent it to, because the play wasn't quite right for them, Amma considered restarting the Bush Women Theatre Company to put the play on herself, but she could not bear the thought of doing it without Dominique. Dominique will not be here tonight, but Shirley, Amma's oldest friend, will be. Shirley and Amma have been friends since school, and Shirley has been to every one of Amma's plays since they were teenagers. They became friends because Amma and Shirley were the only two brown girls in their school. Amma and Shirley were very different people, but they liked each other. Shirley did not care that Amma was a lesbian, and Amma did not mind that Shirley was a little dull. "She's a good person," Amma would say, whenever any of her other friends called Shirley boring and questioned why Amma invited her to events. Some of Amma's other friends will be here tonight too, like Lakshmi, an almost 60-year-old musician who will not date anyone older than 35, and Sylvester. Amma knows Sylvester will be there, despite recently accusing her of selling out. "Amma," Sylvester had said. He took a mouthful from his beer. "You should be performing your plays in libraries for regular people like us. Why are you putting them on in places like the National for wealthy people to watch?" "The last time I had a show in a library, the audience was full of sleeping homeless people," said Amma. That was about 15 years ago, and she promised herself she would never do a show in a library again. Sylvester did not care. "Admit it, Amma," he said. "You're not the same woman you used to be. You've changed." Amma stood up and left Sylvester alone with his beer. She walked back to her home that she inherited from her parents after they died. It was very different from the squat where she had lived back in her younger days, but it was hers. Her daughter, Yaz, had been born in the house, surrounded by the nurse, Shirley, and Roland, Amma's good friend who had agreed to be the father of her child. Roland was gay and had been in a relationship with a man called Kenny for 5 years when he also began to think about having a child. Amma was surprised at how much she loved Yaz, as she had once not thought she wanted a child. She took her everywhere with her, on tour, to auditions, to meetings, on trains, and even planes. Amma let Yaz do whatever she wanted, as long as it did not put her in danger and was not rude. Amma wanted Yaz to be free, feminist, and powerful. Yaz does not call herself a feminist. "Everyone's a feminist these days," Yaz told her mother once. "To be honest, even being a woman is a bit old-fashioned now." A non-binary activist called Morgan came and gave a lecture at university, and they opened my eyes. "I think we're all going to be non-binary in the future. That means no more male and no more female. That's why I don't call myself a feminist. I'm a humanitarian. Do you even know what that is?" Amma misses Yaz when she is at university. She hopes she decides to move back home once she has finished her studying. Amma wants to tell Yaz that, if she wants, she can stay forever.